Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Games Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is Tim Hasselbeck, NFL ESPN analyst. Tim, appreciate you. We missed you the past couple of days.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys rescheduling me. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, we understand you have a face for television and we have faces for radio.
It's
so
fine.
We understand, yeah. Man. We get it.
Come on, you know that that's not true. It's just, you know, some of us, you know, D-Mace, are like all-time leading receivers, man, just on the grind.
Face for radio, voice for print.
Exactly. There we go.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, speaking of your TV appearances, I saw you on NFL Live and you were discussing how you don't think that Ryan Tannehill is going to lose his job anytime soon, that it's pretty much just play bad or get injured, and that's the only way that Ryan Tannehill would not be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. What makes you so confident in saying that?
Well, I mean, it's tricky because – you know, based on draft history, you may think like, well, look, they're trying to replace him or draft his eventual replacement. And I think that that's probably true, right? I mean, just third round pick last year, second round pick this year. That being said, you know, I think the team has been pretty clear that he's currently the starting quarterback because of his experience. And I still believe ability level, I think he ends up, you know, being the starter to start the season. And if he plays well, I don't see how, you know, you make a move. You know, I don't. So that's why I see it that way. Now, look, clearly him not playing well or an injury, which, look, he's coming off of an injury, you know, is certainly possible, but you know, part of what I wanted to talk about on NFL Live was, and we focus a lot on these quarterback situations around the league, and some of them, I mean, you just kind of know what's going to happen. I mean, it's the writing is clearly on the wall. I just don't think it's on the wall for the Tennessee Titans. I think there's still a lot of uncertainty and could go either way. So just play this out. So, like, I think we would all agree, Titans are 2-4 at the, you know, six-game mark. And the offense is sputtering. I think we're going to see a new quarterback. Like, would we all probably agree on that?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Okay. All right. Right. So at 2-4, that's probably what we think. All right. Now here's a question. What if they're 4-2, which they easily could be, and the offense is actually playing pretty well and Ryan's playing really well. Are we going to see anybody else?
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
No. And so at that point, you now are, you know, edging up to the halfway point of the season. And so if you finish it that same way, even if you end up being a 9 or a 10-win team, and you look at Ryan's year and he has a really good year, what is more likely to happen? The Titans say, hey, look, we're moving on. We're getting younger at the position, even though we don't have anybody on our roster that's played. Or is Ryan Tannehill going to get an extension?
That's the golden question, Tim.
Yeah.
And that's
I just don't feel like there's uncertainty with it? Like, because
totally.
I really do. Mm-hmm.
I think there's uncertainty with the quarterback position. And honestly, I have a lot of question marks about this team as a whole. I think the Titans could be anywhere from 10-7, 11-6, or maybe 7-10 and 6-11. I think anything in between those two drastically different expectations for this team are on the table.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think when, you know, you just look at kind of how things could potentially lay out and say, look, if you just were to say, hey, look, the Titans have a quarterback who is, you know, there's an out in his contract after this season. He's due a bunch of money. And they drafted a quarterback in the third round and the second round the last couple of years. I think it's very easy to say, yeah, this is his last year with the team. Like, if you just look at it that way. But then I think if you start to consider that the third round pick showed no signs of life in terms of being able to play, and I think that he's on the bubble maybe of even making the roster this season. And then I think you say, okay, well, and then the next guy is a second round pick that may not see the field, but he just, he maybe won't. And so I think when you look at it that way, it's like, all right, well, then you're going to turn the page. And look, and I'm not saying that, that Mike Vrabel is going to be on the hot seat next year, but if they don't win this year, after John Robinson was fired, you know, midseason last year, if they don't win this year, if they're not a playoff team this year, I do think the noise on that starts to ratchet up quite a bit. And now you have a coach that is going to really need to have a good season. And is he going to enter in with Will Levis as a starter? Like, I think that this is one of the more intriguing and uncertain quarterback situations for the 23 and 24 season that maybe exists in the NFL.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, that is interesting what you just said, that last part about, you know, hey, listen, what do you do, you know, when you have your starting quarterback, then you have your backup quarterback, you know, say the starter's doing well, and but you still end up, you know, having a bad season, and Vrabel seats gets hot the next following season. Could it be, could you see this scenario happen where this season is a mulligan for Vrabel? Mm-hmm. And if it's close, and I've asked you this question before about the quarterback battle. If it is close, because I think ultimately it will be sort of a battle, but right now Ryan Tannehill is way ahead. But if it is close between Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis, that if this season is a mulligan for him, that you go ahead, if it's close, that you throw the rookie in there and you slowly bring him along. And when I mean slowly, you hand the ball off to Derrick Henry more times than not.
Sure.
So you can get this quarterback used to what the NFL world is going to be like as a starter, rather than throwing Ryan Tannehill out there. You don't have a good season. Now you got to figure out going into the next season, my seat is a little hot, and I got to throw a second-year guy that hasn't played any NFL football. I got to throw him in as my starting quarterback, even though he is what we consider the future.
So here would be my question, and you know how this works. Mm-hmm. So, like, if it's close, right? Because I think that's like the key. I think that's a key element to this. Hey, if it's close, well, how do you decide if it's close or not? How do you decipher if it's close or not? What needs to happen? It needs to be a competition, right?
Yeah.
There isn't going to be a competition. Like I'm saying this because I'm just like, I'm trying to just kind of state, you know, for like listeners, like, of like, hey, this is how it works. Like in a team period, and there are 12 reps, like, the starters are going to get 8 of them. So like they're not competing. You know, and like you can say that like they are, but until you say, no, listen, we're taking reps away from the starter because we are giving this guy an opportunity to beat him out. Until you do that, you're not competing. And so I just think for a guy that is due $27 million in base salary this year, I don't know how you start to reduce his reps, reduce his chances in terms of keeping his job. I don't know how you do that.
Well, it would be hard, but I think a tail sign would be as we start to enter into preseason games. If Ryan Tannehill isn't getting any snaps in preseason games, then to me, Ryan's the starter. They just don't want to get him hurt. If Ryan Tannehill is starting to get reps, and I'm talking serious reps, in the preseason, and this young guy is getting those reps also, to me, that's when they're trying to figure out, okay, is it good for us to move away from Ryan Tannehill now, or we're going to know whether this young guy, Will Levis, he may not just be ready yet.
Yeah, and look, I think you bring up a great point about preseason. I could see preseason go in either way in terms of how you talked about the reps. Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan doesn't play, okay? And Levis plays a half, you know, in the preseason games. And Malik plays the second half in the preseason games. Look, maybe you say, I'm good. I'm comfortable with what I've seen from him. He's going to play. Like maybe that indicator of he doesn't play is, hey, we're making sure he doesn't get hurt for the season. Mm-hmm. Maybe that can be misleading. I think that in OTAs, in mini camps, even in preseason games, like, it is really hard to have a real competition. It just is. And then on top of all of that, D-Mace, and I think part of it is, look, maybe you've already made your mind up, but where's Malik Willis factor into this? Because, like, if you're saying, like, you know, we're going to give Will Levis more reps because we want to figure out if we're comfortable with him playing and getting him out there sooner rather than later, what kind of snaps does Willis get? Or are you just done on that project?
He's on field four, like I was for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Field four. Hey, where you know, we got field one, you got the really good first base prospect, field two, and then you got field four, you got Donick and the rest of the guys that, like, you guys got to show us something.
You skip field three.
You guys aren't getting the right.
It's going to be over, you know, tossing up footballs in the sand pit. No, Malik, you look
like,
good.
Hey, where's field four? It's way down there. Just keep going. Way down there, field four.
More with Tim coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
Well, all right, Tim, let me throw this at you. We spend so much time on this quarterback topic here, but part of the equation is going to be how winnable is the division. And the intriguing question to me is, you saw the Jaguars make the late season jump. They won the division. Their confidence is probably even higher, having won the playoff game. How much do you think they have strengthened the roster? How much better are they on paper, in your mind, depth-wise, talent-wise? We know they're fairly young as a group, but how much better could they be this year?
Well, I think they could be significantly better, and it probably, you know, starts just with the quarterback being better. I think we talked probably a lot last year about, like, you know, last season going into it, it was kind of like, well, you had to kind of write off Trevor Lawrence's rookie season because it was, you know, such a disaster, you know, the previous coaching staff. So I think that ends up being probably the biggest differentiator when you look at them. I think I talked a lot last year about Travis Etienne. I think he's a star. So I think another year where, you know, again, last year was almost like kind of hit one of his first, you know, like bit of action as well because of the injury the previous year. And so, you know, I think that ends up being a big deal. And then, you know, defensively, I actually, you know, kind of like their personnel on the defensive side of the ball. Now they drafted heavy defense. I think that it's a good coaching staff. I think it's good young players. Do I think that they're drastically better, you know, because they've were aggressive in free agency or because of somebody that they drafted? No, I think they're probably drastically better because the quarterback, who I believe will end up being a superstar and in the discussion with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and guys like that, like, he now knows what it's like to play. He's in a system for another year. He's well coached. And I think that his confidence and, like, assuredness that he's going to play well, I think is way different than it was a year ago.
I've got another one for you on the 49ers. You got my wheels turning on how exactly do you do the reps? You know, if you're the Titans, if you would like to continue to, you know, try to see what you have in Malik Willis. I think about the 49ers too. Like, you've got Brock Purdy, who is at this stage of his career. You like what you're seeing, but we know his story. And also, he's not going to be there for most of the offseason. Can you count on him with his elbow? I'm still kind of skeptical on that, but you also have Trey Lance, who's an interesting story in his own, and now Sam Darnold. So how exactly do you play that if you're Kyle Shanahan?
Well, what's interesting is it sounds like Sam Darnold's the guy. It sounds like Sam Darnold's going to be the guy that starts the season. I mean, like, that is kind of the sense that I've gotten. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because now, like, what do you do with Trey Lance? Like, what's the plan with him? I mean, I'm just like looking at this now. In 2 seasons in the NFL, he's got 102 attempts. Okay, the previous season he played 1 football game. Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me. Right. The guy's played almost no, and I've kind of been banging this drum for a while. He's played almost no football since leaving high school. Like, I'm gonna guess. Okay, if he looks at, he's played, started 4 games in the pros so far. Started 1 game because of a COVID season. So over 3 years, he started 5 games. In the previous year, I think he played 12 games. He's played 17 games since he left high school. Like, I don't know how. What's that?
That's just not a lot of games.
No, I
got four games on field four with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't know how you get better. Like, it just is. Look, people were critical of Mark Sanchez when he was coming out of college because, you know, he had 17 starts. Like, that was 17 starts in college. You know, I think Mitch Trubisky had like 13 or somewhere. I think Ryan Tannehill was at 17. So, like, that's since leaving high school, and he's had 2 years in the NFL. So I just think that I don't know what happens to him. I think that there's a chance that the Niners, because they have a good roster, they maybe are scarred because of injuries, the quarterback position. And so maybe he's there and maybe he's getting reps, and maybe it's a split between Sam Darnold and Trey Lance until, you know, Purdy's ready to cut it loose. But I think,
what do you think about the
Lance
arm?
Is the odd man out.
What do you think about the arm issue for Purdy? I mean, you know enough about baseball, yeah. Tommy John surgery. I mean, he didn't do the Tommy John, I guess, but if they thought for one point he needed Tommy John, yeah. I don't see how you could be so sure that he's just going to come out there and be able to throw it the way he needs to.
I think it's a great point. Probably all your experience on field four, knowing that that's no joke once you're messing with that stuff. I played with one guy who had Tommy John surgery, and it was Rob Johnson, the former USC Bills quarterback, and he was a shell of himself afterwards. He had a very live arm, and was kind of a workout warrior and all of that, and the ball definitely popped off his hand. Well, after that elbow surgery, it wasn't close. And so for a guy in Brock Purdy who, you know, was not a he definitely would be on the bottom third in terms of physical ability for starting quarterbacks in the NFL, to be coming off of an injury, I think there has to be a massive concern. Now, look, I would have said a similar thing about Drew Brees, and he had a shoulder surgery and he ended up coming back better. So, look, maybe that happens. Now, that was a shoulder, not an elbow. I just think throwing a heavier ball, obviously a heavier ball than a baseball, and so, like, the whip action is not, you know, quite the same. I think there has to be legitimate concern about what he will look like coming back off of that injury.
Now, Tim, amongst these three teams, and I'm going to stay in AFC South because this team has a lot of new faces, whether it be head coach, new quarterback, offensive coordinator, whatnot. Because we sort of know what Jacksonville has the potential to be or what they can be, because of all these four teams, Jacksonville has their quarterback of the future. They know what he is. They know what he can do. And they're just projecting him to continue to go up. Between Houston, Indianapolis, and the Titans, which team would you be more surprised with, whether it was good or bad, in a sense, during this season? Because we understand what the Titans are going through. We know Houston has a first-year head coach in Ryan, and we know what Indianapolis is going through with their new head coach and their new quarterback. So whether good or bad, which one of these teams you would be the most surprised by?
Well, you're saying in terms of like being good?
Being good, but then also Like, I thought they were going to be a little bit better, but wow, this team is really bad. So well, either or, I mean, either
look,
or.
Look, like, you know, in regards to that, like, I mean, it's kind of piggybacking off of what I just said about starts. Like, if Indianapolis is like, hey, look, we're going to start, you know, we're going to start Anthony Richardson, and we're going to, like, I think there's a chance that, like, the reset feels like a real big reset. Like, that was a team that look, they went and signed Matt Ryan even after, you know, Carson Wentz, whatever he threw like 27 touchdowns and 13 picks or 7 picks or something like that. Like, it wasn't an awful year. But they went and signed Matt Ryan because they were like, look, we're just a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. Like, I mean, that was the feeling. That's where they were going 1 year ago today. Mm-hmm. That's where they were. So, look, if you're going to then start a quarterback who has been drafted strictly on potential because of his physical ability, who has 13 career starts at the college level, and a lot of them not good, by the way, like they could end up being really bad. Like that could be a terrible football team. Whereas I think that Houston, I just think because of their coach, I think they're going to play a really competitive brand of defense, and I think their quarterback is a better player and more ready. That I think they'll be. Listen, I don't think they're going to be great, but I think that they're going to be pretty good.
So, can you see Houston being the Tennessee Titans when Vrabel first got here? He didn't make it to the playoffs that first year, but they were a competitive team and they did win some games. But you knew, hey, ultimately, first year head coach. They're sort of retooling this team a little bit, that the next following year they'll be much better. Would that surprise you with them, with Houston?
No, it wouldn't surprise me with them. Look, now a lot of it depends on the quarterback, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and listen, and you know, if you look at what happened with Vrabel, like part of it was he kind of gets here, it's Marcus, and then he decides, and he finds a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, he finds Ryan. Ryan plays well, and that's the difference. Like if C.J. Stroud is good, there's no doubt that I could see them ending up being, you know, a pretty good football team. And then, look, I just think that when you look at them defensively, I think they're going to be competitive. Like, I think that that's how they will be. And, look, we know that this kind of runs in cycles, and getting it right at a few key positions matters. You know, Mike Vrabel figured out he got it right. Like, they got it right because they figured out, like, no, Derrick Henry can play. Let's feed him the football. Hey, we figured it out with quarterback. We, you know, whether it was offensive linemen in free agency, whether it was, you know, guys in the secondary, like they figured it out. They did a good job, and that mattered. Well, they beat the market. Then when you don't, you know, then all of a sudden you fall off quickly.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, what do you think Will Levis needs to work on, the number one thing that he needs to work on in the offseason and even throughout the season?
Yeah, here's what I think, and this is my evaluation watching him. I thought in college there were times it was like, wow, this guy's awesome. Like, his physical ability is there. But then he's had the work. You know, he's played. But then there were times it was like, man, why did you do that? And I always thought, and I don't get this opportunity when I'm just watching somebody, you know, with a video of them playing, is say, what did you see there? Why did you do that? Like, how come? Like, what was this? What angle did you think this receiver was going to take? Or what did you think was going on with the pass protection? And I think that would give me a glimpse into, like, how far away is he? Because I think at times it looks like he's got – great command, and then other times it's like, man, for a guy that has his experience level and the guy that's played his number of snaps, I don't know why he would make that mistake. Now, in fairness to him, he had a guy who was a very good offensive coordinator as a junior, you know, or his second to last year at Kentucky, did not have that same luxury, did not have as good as players around him. His last year he was banged up. And so maybe some of it is that. So I would just say this. I think cleaning up the decision-making where the head-scratching stuff goes away. And I think that if he does that, I think there's a chance he's got a bright future. And I know a lot of people made big issues about him being all muscled up. I would have concern with that as well. And I think I would address that and be like, listen, like, you're strong enough, you're big enough, like, let's make sure we don't get too muscle bound here. That's not going to help.
So you don't want the Hulk as your quarterback.
Hey, look, I'm going to ask you something. Did you ever play with a guy that you liked playing with?
Okay? Yeah, you got a preference with that. Yes.
that was like a monster in the weight room. Like,
I'm going to tell you the truth. The quarterbacks that I played with, you very seldom, they picked up weights, but it wasn't heavy weights. They were doing a lot of band work and stuff like that.
The Brady method.
Hey, I'm going to ask you, like, for real, like McNair was he was a tough dude, and he was kind of thick. Like, but, like, was he some weight room warrior? Like, I doubt it.
Nah,
he wasn't. Like, and I'm just, like, I don't care who it is. Like, that's not a great recipe. Like, you don't see a bunch of dudes on, like, the strongman competition then going out and playing catch, you know?
Last one for you, Tim. I've heard this several times. I heard it most recently from Dan Orlovsky on SportsCenter. A lot of people have said, like, Will Levis just needs to chill the heck out. Like, just calm down, chill out in the weight room, chill out on the field, calm down. Even in some of his pre-draft meetings, a lot of people said he just needs to calm down.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Is that something that you learn by in-game experience? Does that just come with more maturity?
I'll tell you how you do it.
Calm down.
I'll tell you how you do it. I mean, he can't do it, but I'll tell you how you do it. I calm down. You know? How you relax.
Hey.
Shout out to our friends over at Green Trees.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. Some guys, they start playing football, and they're big, strong kids as 12-year-olds. And so, like, they were the quarterback, but they also were, like, the best linebacker and the best tailback and the best, you know, whatever. Like, they could have been the best left tackle. Like, some kids get their start playing football that way, and changing that mentality kind of doesn't really happen for them. I think that there's an element to playing quarterback where it's like, yeah, you can be too hyped up. Like, you want the game to be slow. Like, look at Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow is not ready to go cover a kick, and you don't want him to. So, yeah, look, I would agree with that sentiment. I think that there's an element of it where, you know, you see these guys, like, getting off the bus before a game and they got their headphones on and they're listening to music. Like, look, you don't want them listening to Metallica, okay? Like, you want them listening to, like, John Denver, okay, or P. Mace's Point, Willie Nelson, let's calm it down a little bit. I think there's an element, like, Tom Brady's taking a nap, you know, in the locker room before his first Super Bowl, there is a mentality to that. I think is important.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, appreciate your time. We'll chat next week.
I'll see you guys.
All right.
And speaking of cool, calm, and collected music, we've got some tickets to give away. 102.5 and 106.3, The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, May 26th, courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Maybe Will Levis should go to that concert with our friends from Green Trees. Text in the keyword trees, T-R-E-E-Z, trees with a Z instead of an S. Text that in now to The Game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win. Good luck with that. We'll get into your thoughts coming up next. Caroline, Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I know I teased some potential new developments in Knoxville, and we'll get into that. But first, DeMace, you read me a tweet at the break. Some Steelers news.
Yeah, it seems like they're planning on extending Mitch Trubisky's contract.
Are there details about how long?
There's not details on how long.
Okay.
Let me see. There was not much. Let me go back here. There's not much detail on it. So I guess they haven't finalized. They said they had plans to.
Plans to extend Mitch Trubisky.
To be Kenny Pickett's backup.
And they've also extended Mason Rudolph. Or they signed him to a one-year deal, which isn't a huge deal. It's a one-year deal.
Uh-huh.
Two thoughts on that. One, why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mitch Trubisky, I guess if you look at it, which would you have, Mitch Trubisky as your backup or Mason Rudolph?
They got both now.
Yeah, they have both. I think because of where, yeah, but where Mitch Trubisky was drafted, he had minor, and I mean minor success with Chicago, but we know a lot of it was the defense and whatnot. But they look at him probably as more of a solid backup than Mason Rudolph. In a sense, because they both been in the system the same amount of time, the same amount of years, haven't they? The Pittsburghs, or was Mason Rudolph there before?
Mason Rudolph was there before.
He was there before Mr. Trubisky. So I guess it's something, you know, anything can change once you get into camp and you get to going. A lot can change. But to have all three of them on your roster, and then again, they may carry three quarterbacks.
And that's kind of the second point, you know? Is like anything can happen in camp. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to hold on to all three quarterbacks exactly. throughout the entirety of the season. You don't have to keep all three on your 53-man roster. Mm-hmm. But that is kind of a point to, if the Steelers do want to carry all three quarterbacks, they can do that. And I feel like there's this perception of, well, you can't carry three quarterbacks. Why not? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Titans carry three quarterbacks this season. If they do want to move on from Malik Willis this season, I think that's fine and totally justified. But I asked you this question, D-Mace. If the Titans want to put Malik Willis on their practice squad, do you think that there's any team that's going to pick him up?
I think there will be a team that pick him up. And I'm not saying they're picking him up because they want him to be the starter or anything else. Because of this fact alone, I think because he was a third-round pick and because there's some GM or head coach or offensive coordinator saying, hey, listen, just bring him here. Put him in our system. Let's get him used to it. Let's teach him our system and then go from there. You know, we don't have to, especially if they put him on practice squad, we don't have to trade anything for him. You know, we don't have to give up assets or anything else. We can just say, hey, listen, this is, and if he's willing to sign with us, then okay.
Yeah.
You're essentially getting him for nothing. So I can see a team, you know, if the Titans do choose to keep three and they put, because more than likely it would be him on the practice squad. I could see a team saying, you know what, we want him, you know, to put on our practice squad or sort of to kind of see if we can change, see if we can get something out of him. Because obviously Tennessee couldn't.
My first instinct was no, but you're totally right that there is probably some coordinator or quarterback's coach or coach in general in the NFL out there that looks at Malik Willis, that maybe liked him a lot going through the draft and said, you know what? I can fix that. I can work with that. We can do something with it. And if you have to give up nothing in order to get him, I think you would be right. But I have heard this perception a lot going around surrounding the Titans quarterback position of, oh, well, you can't carry three quarterbacks. Why?
Yeah, you can.
You absolutely can carry three quarterbacks. Look at the 49ers. I know that the 49ers were more so the exception and not the rule, but they probably would have appreciated carrying a few more than just three quarterbacks when they had a running back in a quarterback in the NFC Championship game.
Exactly. Here it is. The GM, Omar Khan, was on the Pat McAfee show, and he said they are extending quarterback Mitch Trubisky. So there's no details, but the GM was on the Pat McAfee show.
You know, have you ever seen the movie Beetlejuice? If you say his name three times, he appears. That's how Junie Riddle is. You say the word Steelers, and he just appears. He texts me and said they're extending him to lower his cap hit, which, that makes sense. I mean, Mitch Trubisky sticking with the Pittsburgh Steelers and extending isn't the crazy thing, but I think that the signing of Mason Rudolph is kind of what set off a little bit of a flag for me. But let's get into it. What I wanted to tease, what I wanted to get to here was some news coming out yesterday that the University of Tennessee has proposed what they're calling the Neyland Entertainment District. And it's basically right at G10. And if you are a Tennessee fan, you're very familiar with what G10 is. It's basically this area, kind of a ramp between Neyland Stadium and Thompson Bowling Arena, where the basketball team plays, where they want to put an entertainment district, which would be a hotel, bars, shops, restaurants. Basically think of, you know, Wrigleyville, think of the Battery in Atlanta, think of Ballpark Village in St. Louis. Basically these areas that have become an extension of the stadiums.
What's there now? Because I've never been to Neyland Stadium.
Basically nothing. Okay. Like right now, it's a ramp where a lot of people will tailgate. They'll set up tents and tailgate over there. But around the river, there are some restaurants, but nothing, really, for the most part. So they wanted to make it kind of a focal point of the area. You have something to do close by, right next to the stadium. You can do your tailgating there at some of the bars and restaurants. Just other things to do while you're over in that area. I think it's a good idea.
Of course.
And honestly, I think that there's going to be a whole lot of other schools and stadiums and athletic departments that want to start doing something like this. Mm-hmm. Because we already know that game day in college football, specifically in the SEC, I mean, it is an event.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a party. So why not monetize off of what people are already doing, which is eating and drinking before games, and make a little bit of money off of it? I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it is. You know, if it's just space, you know, that's being used for whatever it's being used for, whether it's tailgate or not during the football season, it's just nothing. Well, why not try to, you know, sort of get out of it as much as you can? Put, you know, things there that people can enjoy, students can enjoy, people that are coming in, you know, from Nashville or Memphis or wherever they're coming in from to watch the Vols play, whether you are, you know, you're just a lover of the Tennessee Vols or you're a Vol alumni, former player, whatever it is, you come here and you have a place to sort of go. You know, you don't have to sit out and, you know, because if they do indeed build in that area, best believe they'll have other tailgating areas for people to continue to tailgate. So I just think they're trying to maximize the space that they have, the acreage that they have over that area, and try to make it, you know, as fun and entertaining as possible during game day.
Whenever we do Jared versus Joe, uh-huh. I'll hop on at the break, chat with Ian for a little bit. And yesterday, I asked Ian, is there anything that's really like gotten a bee in Jared's bonnet that I should just poke at for Jared versus Joe? And he mentioned this Neyland Entertainment District. He said that he was all worked up about it because
why?
He thought it was going to cause trouble.
For who?
And you know, you insert bars onto a college campus, and yeah, obviously, that's we all know what happens there, but I don't see how this is any different than other college campus, every single college campus in America that has strips of bars and restaurants either on campus or right by campus. I can speak to the campus that I went to at LSU. You step right off of campus, it's a long street of bars and restaurants and shops and, you know, places that people just go.
It was the same way at Michigan State.
College campus in America.
Exactly. So, I mean, he could be talking about traffic, and that's a real deal, but traffic is traffic. I mean, it's
game day traffic exists.
Exactly.
It's going to exist. And this is going to be on top of that ramp.
Uh-huh.
So it's not going to be in the streets, technically, uh-huh. or you're not tearing up any parking lots or streets, at least my impression of this. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, you know, infringe on traffic flow.
Uh-huh.
It's just more people in one area.
Yeah, but those people are already going to be there anyway. Actually, there may be less cars because now there's buildings there.
And if college kids want to get into trouble, they're going to get into trouble.
Yeah, they'll find trouble.
You put, you know, 5 20-year-olds in the middle of nowhere. They're probably
they
find some way to stir up some trouble. And this, to me, I mean, if you're, let's say it's college kids in a bar, well, that's a whole lot more supervision than there would be at a fraternity house or at a tailgate. Yeah. And now you get taxed for it.
Yeah, Jared sounding like he's 80 years old.
Get
off my lawn. Come on, Jared, please. Stop it, Jared.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, and the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.